Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast. Let me tell you about my friends over at Naked Vine, located in Chesterfield, Missouri, serving up all your favorite wine, whiskey, tequila, and local craft beers. Swing by and visit them this week for some great live music on Thursday, July 18th. Phil and Carson of the Scandaleros will be out there. Friday, July 19th, John Bonham and Friends. And on Saturday, July 20th, the Scandaleros. So come on out and see those shows. I will be back at Naked Vine on August 13th with my friends, the brothers Reed from Portland, Oregon area, and Tim Lloyd from my singer-songwriter storytelling showcase. This happens every second Tuesday of the month. It's a $10 show. This is a special 8 o'clock start for the show, so come on out and check that out. Again, that's an intimate singer-songwriter storytelling showcase. Full listing of details at nakedvine.net. Be sure to follow along with them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and get out and support some live local music. Hey, I also want to tell you about my friends at Joseph Meyer Club. They've been helping me out with this show for a while now, and they've got this great product. It's a foaming aftershave that I want you to try out. And if you go over there during checkout and enter RPPJMC20, you can receive an exclusive 20% off your purchase just like that. So RPPJMC20 at checkout at josephmeyerclub.com. Like I said, I've been using it myself. I love it. It's a great product. Smells awesome. So go check it out. Thanks, everybody. Hope you enjoy the show today. Be sure to tell some friends. Follow along on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, Rock Paper Podcast, wherever you get your podcast. Thanks, everybody. Have a good one.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
This is Dave Grelly, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Well, we've been getting a lot of cards and letters about Alley Ghost, most of them saying they didn't believe how so much racket could come out of one guitar with no overdubs. So we're gonna do this live just to prove it to you.
Blind to see.
The day I packed your things, I still wear a wedding ring. Could you remind me of the best years of my life? I buried her that day, rain and late in May. She was my best friend and my wife. Now that Alley Ghost is dancing, some scratchy old record only he can hear. Dog is in the cans, and me and just like him. Seems as though it's time to get on home. Now that Annie Goose is dancing, only this time I can see. He no longer laughing at me, 'cause now I know you've come for me. Now I'm the
everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, recording today at beautiful Blue Lotus Recording Studio, hanging out today with Bob Komoski and Paul Niehaus. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you, Shane.
Hello out there.
Yeah, this is cool, man. This has kind of become like a second home almost, man. I've been down here so often we've done several down here at Blue Lotus, and it's always fun getting to hang with you guys and getting to, so I thank you again for welcoming me over here to the studio.
thank you so much for coming.
Yeah, man.
We always love to have you.
Yeah, this, and like, I mean, I don't know, you've been, you guys been busy over here at Blue Lotus, cranking out all kinds of good music, of all of our favorite St. Louis artists, and including, all those, Blue Society collections and everything. But, we do have a big new record coming out from, Bob. That's why we're here today to talk about that. Yep. We have, so that'll be, let's get into it. We will have, July 27th is their big release party for the record Lost Time, Bob Kamosky, on the Blue Lotus recording label. And that'll be available, like I said, on the 27th at Off-Broadway. Big party over there with Miss Molly Sims. It's a 7 o'clock start, or 7 o'clock doors, 8 o'clock start. $10 tickets, includes a copy of the album. So that's a great deal.
Yep.
Yeah, so... But let's get into that. I gotta say, this is our first time. Me and Bob met at Off Broadway a little bit ago. It was like that Great American Folk Scare show.
Oh, that's right. That's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah. So I finally got to meet Bob in person that night and introduce myself. But this is our first time really getting to properly talk instead of trying to talk at a show and stuff. So I wanted to, I thought this would be a lot of fun to get to know a little bit more about you and your music and everything else you guys been a part of down here. So so tell me, Bob, is you good? Do you you grow up always here in St. Louis, or where did you call home?
I grew up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Okay.
Back in the days when it was the Milwaukee Braves.
Yeah.
And then about 18, 19 years old, I hopped a Greyhound bus and spent two decades plus out on the West Coast and up around the West, traveling around and playing, and ended up here in St. Louis in the early 90s.
Yeah. Was that for work or family, or what brought you to St. Louis?
Well, that's a long story. Okay. Do you want to hear the whole thing?
Sure. I mean, if you want to share, whatever you...
Okay. Well, I was playing and I broke my hand in a car accident and a spiral fracture, and the doctor said after it was all done, they had to put pins in, that I had to play as much as I could for a year because that's what as good as it's going to get. So I played hard for a year. Then I stopped playing for a decade in the 90s.
Oh, wow.
And got married, had a kid, and know nobody out there, relation or anybody else. And my wife's family migrated to this area from Rochester, New York, and my son instantly had aunts and uncles and all that. And so I said, well, what the hell?
Yeah, right on. So you don't play, you couldn't play guitar, or you didn't play guitar for a whole decade, you said?
Pretty much.
Man, that's crazy to shelf it. And what? So what made you want to come back to it then? Like, where?
Well, that's a long story too.
Right.
We went on vacation towards the, I think it was the early 2000s or late 90s. I can't remember stuff like that too good. And right on the beach, Pacific Beach, where I used to live, and back in the wild days. And I was taking a walk, and I saw a bar down there, and one of my old guitar buddy friends, this poster, playing at this bar that night. So everybody, my wife and my son, were asleep, and I got dressed, and I walked over there. And walked around to the back, and there's Steve Wilcox, who played with Candy Kane and a bunch of people. And he was getting his stuff out of the truck. He goes, Bob, where else you come from? Blah, 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 blah. Hey, you're playing the set with me. And I went, man, I haven't touched a guitar in almost 10 years. He says, it's like sex or riding a bike. I don't care how long it's been. You don't forget. And I said, okay. So I played that set with him, and it was great. And on the plane on the way back, I started talking to my wife, going, I think I maybe could do this again. So when I got back, I went down to Monday night's jams with Sular Blues Band, and within a couple months, I was playing with them.
Nice.
I was still working, but I figured now's the time. If I'm going to get my chops up playing with that caliber of people, I can't turn that down.
Yeah. Broadway Oyster Bar down there, right?
Yeah.
That's like the longest running blues jam in the country or something, they say. Something like that.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, that's crazy, man, to think that to set it down for that long and then come back and
So I guess that kind of fueled the writing and starting to write these songs, or
Yeah, it was good for me because, you know, the 70s and 80s was like a rolling party, you know, and I know a lot of guys my age that never took a break, and they're kind of jaded now because they're tired and they think of their guitars to go to play a gig for money, and from taking that break, the best guitar playing's down in the music room. You know, I practice and play more all the time than I had since I was a kid now, you know, and I met Leroy Pearson, the acoustic blues guy, and went over to his house and, you know, learned to use my thumb and got into all this resonator style, and then took acoustic music seriously and got into writing and stuff like that over the course of the next decade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, and you playing that resonator, I love it, man. It's one, you don't see a ton of it. So when you see somebody doing it and doing well, like, it's just very cool to me. It's very calming and peaceful, especially listening to this record on the way over here today. Like, it was just... I don't know, because it just, like, the simplicity of it, just you and the resonator or acoustic and stuff and playing, and it just, like I said, it's very, very relaxing to me. But I really dig your style and your playing, and seeing you live at Off-Broadway that day was a real treat to, you know, seeing you and telling the stories behind some of these songs and everything else. Like, that was a fun evening for sure.
Well, thanks, man. That's what Paul and I, when we decided to do some recording here, we really talked about just keeping it basically a live performance down here and keeping it stripped down and just the essence of the songs. And if we do another one, or when we do another one, there might be a little bit more trappings to it, but I wanted this first one to be just real stripped, you know. Mm-hmm. Just, I could basically show up someplace and do what's on the album.
Right.
Yeah.
Who was the first one to give you a guitar as a kid? Did you come from a musical family? Or?
Oh, no. You're talking, I started playing guitar in 1966. My old man was horrified. Horrified, you know. He was a Polish Catholic cop who thought the communists were undermining the morals of our youth, for God's sake. And it isn't like it is now. You know, it was us against them. And nowadays, a kid wants to play guitar, he's 13, and he goes to the Guitar Center and gets a $2,000 Les Paul, and his dad's proud. I had to save my paper route money and got a lime green Echo that you could talk into the pickup and made my fingers bleed. You know,
yeah.
It was mysterious. I mean, it was secret knowledge. You know, go to used bookstores to go through a handful of albums, see if you could find a Freddie King record. You know, and that was like gold.
Sure.
You know, nowadays you just press a couple of keys on the computer and anything you want to know about Freddie King's right there.
Right.
So that's how I grew up playing in that kind of sacred knowledge type of atmosphere.
Was it always centered around like more blues, like Freddie King and stuff like that?
Freddie King's my favorite. Yeah. I listen to a lot of different music, but blues is my background of everything. I mean, I could be in a Carpenters tribute band and it would come out bluesy. Right. You know, but I listen a lot to Bob Dylan and, you know, and stuff like that. Van Morrison. Sure. When I was a kid, young, before I started playing, James Brown, you know, the old James Brown stuff.
Yeah.
The old Stax and Volt.
Well, you mentioned Dylan and Lost Time. Right? You say Dylan sang something?
Keep on keeping on from Blood on the Tracks.
There it is.
But also, what I got that phrase from more was Dusty Rhodes, the professional wrestler.
All right.
Because he would say, as my good friend Bobby Dylan says, I just got to keep on keeping on, baby. Dusty Rhodes, the American dream.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't, I obviously, you know, as an adult, I've done more research since then. But when I was a kid, I used to watch a ton of wrestling also, but it was more in the, you know, all the WWE or WWF and WCW and everything with so I grew up watching a ton of those guys too, but and Dusty's kid, I think, started used to wrestling now too and stuff recently. And yeah, those some of those characters, those guys are larger than life, you know.
Oh, the old guys were crazy.
I was big on, you know, Macho Man Randy Savage, of course. He's one of my favorites, and just some of the personas those guys played up and stuff. They were some wild characters, and those guys were a lot of fun. But shout out to so Dusty. Yeah.
Shout out to Dusty Rhodes, yeah. Right. Former cab driver from Houston, Texas.
Yeah. Wow. So let's mention Lost Time. Let's drop this track in here. This is the title track of the brand new record, and this is again kicks off track one on the record. So, anything else you need to add around?
And just to on the when the record comes out, on the inside cover is in poem form the first verse of that in my hand chicken scratch handwriting, which is. When I first wrote that first verse, that's what that paper's from. And
wow.
They had the idea of like, just, I don't know what you do. You put it in the computer, scan.
Yeah.
I know
yeah.
about computers that scanned it.
Yeah. The idea was to try to, you know, find a cursive font or something to approximate it. And the whole flow of the indentations, it's just written as a poem, but in the end we just scanned it and used that and nice. It was better. So
yeah. Well, very cool. This is the one that definitely caught my attention when I was listening. I think it's a message, obviously, a lot of us can relate to. You know, wherever you are in life, I feel like we all feel like we wish we had more time to do things that we wanted to do. And so some of the lyrics definitely, you know, hit me when I especially caught that line, you know, mentioning Bob Dylan. Like it was cool to hear mention some of your influences all in the lyrics and stuff too, like that. Like I liked, appreciated the way that was done.
There's a lot of that in this album where I'm make references and
right.
things to stuff I've been influenced by.
My lost time. guess that's what I'm told. Now Dylan sang it, I just keep on keeping on. Someday I'll do right what I've done wrong. Hey, I ain't crying, I'm just trying to find
this again a great tune, and this, so this is just you and the guitar then, and
yeah, it's all just me and the guitar. Yeah. Either acoustic guitar or the resonator.
Yeah,
yep. All live. We cut the record in 2 days.
Oh wow.
And yeah
2 days, and we just did multiple takes of each one and scoured over them and said this one or that one.
Well, this, again, what, 12 tracks on the That's record, right? 12 tracks on this record, Lost Time, available July 27th at Off-Broadway, and then I'm sure digitally everywhere after that. Is this your, is this the official debut, or do you have other albums out there, Bob, or?
I've had actually two self-produced in my basement that I've sold off the stage over the last 7-8 years. The last one I did was all original songs. The first one was a lot of blues standards, you know, and that's I knew to get something better, I had to get out of the basement and get into like a real studio.
Yeah. So how do you and Paul get connected?
Well, I've known Paul for a while, and when Jeremy asked me to do the recent compilation, I wasn't going to do it at first because I had these songs that weren't necessarily blues and I didn't know if I wanted to get involved in that. And then I decided that, well, if I get down there in Paul's studio and we get along good, maybe I can coerce him into doing a whole album for me. And so when we were down there, we got done with the take for Lie, Lie, Lie. I just started playing Alley Ghost.
Yeah. I'm and like, what's that?
Oh, what's that, man?
What's that?
You got to do a record.
Let's do a record.
So the plan all worked out,
right?
And mutual.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that it all started with 18 and 18 then? That was that. Yep. You're talking about that recording, right?
Yeah, plus my wife, a shout out to her when I was talking about doing, she says, go do it with him. You got to get out of that basement. You need somebody else, and don't sit there and be so much in your own head.
She's trying to get you out of the house, huh?
Just, no, I'll get it out of my head, my own head, because I can get down there and get lost in that. I mean, when we got done with the whole album, I went home and listened to it, and I had all intentions of coming back the next day to Paul and tell him, well, now that's a good demo. Now let's do the album.
Right.
And I told it to my wife. She's, what are you, nuts? You know? And then I listened to it more. I said, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, that's a common artist thing. You sure. know, I relate to that too. And it helps to just have someone else to listen and to talk about how they perceive it. Because yeah, if we just silo ourselves off, we can lose perspective, and yeah, it's something we all struggle with as artists.
Yeah, I mean, even myself, like, I mean, I don't consider myself an artist, but doing this show, like, it took a long time to get comfortable listening back to my own recordings, and especially trying to edit my own show and different stuff. Like, it's a weird thing to get used to hearing back your own music, or, you know, voice or whatever it is, and like, and then accepting that, and then like trying to make, you know, and have, figure out the best way to put that out there and stuff. And like, so yeah, I totally relate. I mean, that this show has made me understand a lot more, being, you know, what a lot of artists are going through and stuff. Cause like I said, I feel like I've now I can relate on a more personal level, being doing this show myself. So, but yeah, I've noticed, talking to a lot of people, like they feel like that they're all kind of in their head, and they think they're always their own worst critic for sure. You know, they think they're all their stuff's, you know, terrible or whatever. As I keep telling them, they're great and stuff. And it's hard for them to sometimes accept all that. But, but yeah, man, that, I'm glad she talked you into doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
Thank you, Ellen.
Yeah. Well, this, so you got, excuse me, you said you did all this in 2 days down here?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty wild. I mean, obviously, it being more of a simplistic approach to it all, but I mean, it probably moves a lot faster, but still, to think, like, just kind of went in there, knocked it out, and it sounds this great, like, that's really cool to hear. So,
well, we spent a lot of time in the mixing after those 2 days, right, and just how to, yeah, present them, and what kind of, we wanted to have an orchestrated sound, you know, and have it flow as more of a, what should I say, a band kind of feel, but only with one instrument and one voice, a very arranged, you know, subtle little things going on.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of my goal of achieving, and I think we did pretty close to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and one thing that's different about this record, if this is the first Blue Lotus record that I had someone co-mix it with me, Bob was there for every minute of the mixing.
Oh, nice.
And so we did it together, and that was cool for me. It's always good to get someone else's perspective and methods and just ideas, because we did it a different way than I would have, and I love how it turned out, so... that was fun.
Yeah, that's I think that's one of the things like I love most about what we have happening here in St. Louis and in our music scene and stuff is that, you know, even going behind the board and stuff, but like just having that collaboration, you know, all these people, different people working together, and you know, like having just the open mind to accept something different, you know, like you're saying,
totally.
You know, like you just, hey, this is not, I've never tried this, but let's give it a shot, and it works, and you're like, you opened your mind to something completely different you never thought of. So
yeah,
what's cool is when we were mixing it and post-production, I guess is the technical term.
Yeah.
You know, I found very quickly that Paul was listening for totally different things than what I was listening,
right,
for. So between the two of us, we had a lot of bases,
yeah,
covered.
Yeah.
You know, and it was really, that part really worked out good, and it was really cool.
Yeah. Very nice, Ant. Again, this is all recorded down here at Blue Lotus Recording Studio. So if you're in the market, come visit Paul down here, give him a call, and see if you can't get in the studio as well. So
thank you.
Yeah, man. But like I said, I appreciate everything you've been doing for me, having me down here and stuff. Like I said, it always feels like home when I walk down here and getting to hang with you guys. So. But let's mention, we kind of touched on Lie, 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 and this was, you said, originally appeared on the compilation?
Yeah, the St. Louis Blues Society 18 and 18 record.
Yep. Yeah, and we did play this one live, and is there anything else we need to share around Lie, Lie, Lie? Any stories behind the lyrics or anything, Bob?
No, sometimes some of my lyrics pull from personal experiences, kind of, sort of, but most of them are these little stories I make up in my head. I start goofing around with a lick, and then like a little movie comes out. Mm-hmm. But there is a funny story about this song.
Okay.
There's a lyric in there in the last verse of my favorite line of the whole song where it says, you even got a girlfriend and I hear she looks like you. And when I wrote that, I was thinking of maybe the woman was full of herself and looking in a mirror, you know, and that's why she's like lying to him all the time. And I played one night at BB's and I got done. I played that song and then took a break. And this little cute little, they could have been even hardly old enough to be there, little lesbian couple come up. Body piercings and tattoos, a whole shot, and tell me how cool it was and how like an old, obviously straight guy with me would be singing about losing your woman and she's messing around with another woman. And I kind of stopped and went, in my head, I'm going, what are they talking about? And then I went, oh, yeah. So now when I sing it, that's what I think about. And the whole thought of that lyric has changed because of somebody coming up and talking to me.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah, it's a good story. Yep. Absolutely true.
Yep. Well, I know you've been seeing the mailman, the worksman, and the cop. You even got that weird wound that living down the block. And in your life, tell me I'm the only one. Try it. And you lie. Oh, mama, ain't you never done? When I'm out breaking my back, you at home in heavy and fun. Got a doctor, you're driving with the hack. You spend a bit of parts of your day, baby, doing this and that. And then you lie. Tell me I'm the only one. Oh, don't lie to me, baby. And then you lie. Oh, mama, ain't you never done? Oh, you never done. I'm out breaking my back. You at home and heavy and fun. Ah, don't lie to me, baby. Got a young man, a couple old ones too. You even got a girlfriend, and I hear she look like you. And you lie. Ain't you never done? And you lie. Oh, baby, I know you're never done. When I'm out breaking my back, you at home and heavy and fun. When I'm out breaking my back, you at home and heavy and fun. When I'm out breaking my back, you at home and heaven's fun. Don't lie to me, baby.
It's interesting how, like, you can have a couple lines of lyrics and people can totally perceive it in a completely different way. And you know, that's what one of my favorite things about music is that sometimes I enjoy when people tell me the stories that behind the actual lyrics or whatever, but then sometimes I like hearing it and see where my mind goes with it, like, and come up with something completely different that they, so it's,
yeah, they changed totally. My mind of right. what the song sure. was about. Totally. So that's what it is now.
Right.
What they came up and talked about. That's yeah. what the song is.
But, yeah, that's a cool thing, man. That's a, so again, is this, you said it appears on also on the compilation. Is it the same recording or did you guys re-record
yeah.
it?
Yeah. This one is, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. So grab both those. Grab the compilation and then pick up a copy of Lost Time when you're at the show. Again, you can get a copy with your ticket for $10 mm-hmm. at the release party. Let's get more into this night. This is, again, July 27th at Off-Broadway. Tickets available now at offbroadwaystl.com. And again, at 8 o'clock music starts, we'll have Miss Molly Sims kicking off the night. And she's also recorded with Down Here Blue Lows, right?
Yeah, we're working on a full-length album. She was also on the 18 and 18. And yeah, a fantastic singer-songwriter. Can't say enough good things about her.
Is she playing solo that evening? Or
yes.
Yeah?
Yes, yeah.
Right on, yeah. That'd be a nice treat. I haven't seen her playing out as often recently. I know she just played a gig the other night, but I haven't seen her in a while, so I'm excited to get to see her play, and especially just her and the guitar is going to be pretty cool. So,
you know, she's a badass.
Oh yeah, for
that,
sure.
That word was invented for her. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, definitely. She's definitely a badass. She embodies that completely. So,
yep.
So yeah, we'll have Miss Molly Sims. And then as far as your set, is it just Bob and the guitar too, or are you going to join them, Paul, or?
Well, we're kind of working on that.
Yeah.
I don't want to plan too far ahead, but sure. I think I'm going to do some myself, and Paul's going to play bass on some, and then we have like Kevin O'Connor might even play brushes towards the end of the set to bring it up a little bit.
Yeah, nice.
Some variety.
Yeah. Some variety. I might even, and if the spirit moves me, I might even pick up the old Telecaster and play some electrical guitar towards the end.
Yeah, and that's one of the coolest things about Bob is he's multifaceted. This, the whole acoustic, resonator, guitar, and singer-songwriter, you know, that's one whole thing that he does, but he's also a world-class blues guitar, electric blues guitar player, like traditional blues guitar, yeah. And soul, you know, soul guitar, rock guitar. He's just an educated guitar player, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Oh, it's like educated.
Well, yeah. Edumacated.
Edumacated. I don't want to waste that fourth grade education.
Right. I was really impressed with this record. Like I said, just, and you mentioned when the you said the we're talking about the story of BB's and writing the songs and stuff, and like they said that. It's kind of a little movie starts in your head, and that's exactly how I feel with a lot of this music. I don't know, maybe one day I'll get into like maybe making music videos or something, because I hear music sometimes and I start visually, you know, putting stuff together in my mind. But when I listen to this record, that's the first thing that I kind of think of is like, I feel like it belongs in a movie. It belongs like in a soundtrack to a movie and stuff, just like, you know, like a nice, indie, independent low budget movie, just kind of like a nice little peaceful background music to some of the film, and as they're like going through the, you know, hiking or whatever, do a different whatever's going on in the movie. But I just feel like this music is like a perfect bed for a nice soundtrack to a movie. So
if you're listening, Hollywood, give me a call.
Right.
Yep, please.
So
make it happen.
I don't know if that's something you guys ever think about or how that goes. I mean, like pitching the music or pitching the, you know, how that works. But
we haven't gotten that far. With, but, you know, make the thing, get it out there, and then I do much better when I handle the next thing in front of me.
I think about like what was that? Into the Wild, I think it was. But Eddie Vedder like did that whole soundtrack.
That's right.
And so that's a lot of like, that's a similar type of thing like that. Like I think of like, just, you know, I don't know. I feel like it makes sense. And like the stories, I think, are great when the lyrics of the songs, but just like the simplicity again of just you and the guitar and stuff, like it could really, really work well. So hopefully we'll make that happen, get this into the right hands and get in some movies or whatever the next move is with this record. But
that'd be great.
Yeah. So hopefully all my Hollywood friends are listening to this episode. Yeah,
that'd be great.
Well, you mentioned the release party several times, but you do have another regular, residency. First and third Fridays at Venice, playing Happy Hour over there.
It's real casual, a lot of storytelling and joking. There's a handful of regulars that come in, so it's cool. It's almost like a little house party. Yeah. Type of thing, you know, and I bring a different guitar and play a different set of stuff every week.
Yeah, man.
And it's, you know, sometimes I'll bring an amp and play electric, and the guys that are regulars will shout off. A couple of weeks ago, one goes, "When Cries Mary," and I just scratched and thought of me being 15 years old playing that song. Yeah. And I got through it.
There you go. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you never know what's going to happen there.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's any time of the night. You never know what's going to happen over there. You know, who knows? Anybody playing over there, it'll be all kinds of people just stop in and join in sometimes and different jams and all kinds of stuff. So, but that's just a great spot, a great hub for music. I mean, they're always got a lot of great live music at Venice. And, I was telling you guys off mic, I hadn't been there in quite a while, but I just recently went back a couple of times, and it felt good to be back in there because it's just a cool space. Every time I go, there was like something new to see, like on all the art on the walls and everything, and the patio. And I don't know if I ever told you guys, but I actually did a podcast over there in the boat bar one night, and that was a lot of fun too. So I recorded with Zach Squatch that works.
Oh yeah, totally.
There and stuff, and we sat there in the bar and. We're in the middle of recording, doing the podcast, and people start walking up, like trying to buy drinks, and they're like, "We're like, oh no, we're just doing a podcast," you know. So it was really funny, and we had a great time hanging with Zach, and he shared some of his songs and stories on the show, and he's definitely a character for sure.
I also play once a month out at way out in Festus at a Cajun restaurant called Tetro's. So shout out to all the friends I've made out there. I've played there once a month for the last 3 years.
Nice.
And beautiful downtown Festus.
Yeah.
Yep.
You guys, you wanting to do more traveling with this record when it comes out, or do you have any plans of that kind of stuff?
I definitely want to start playing more. The last couple of years, haven't played a whole lot, maybe half a dozen times a month, but because I've been really downstairs a lot trying to really sort out what I wanted to do recording and stuff. So with this, I'm open to anything now.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can get involved. You can find Bob hopefully coming to a town near you soon. We got the official Facebook page and Instagram. You can get involved socially and find him there. Do we have a website going?
BobKomoski.com.
There it is. Simple enough, man. Find dates, find the record when it's available here soon. And
Blue Lotus website would be where you can find the album and everything.
BlueLotusRecordings.com. Yeah.
And you guys, I noticed we did a little live video too, but you guys also, there's a lot of live videos on the YouTube and the Facebook page, right?
A lot of content, yep.
A lot of live video of you guys playing down
those here. Are the actual recordings.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we put up three so far from the record, but the whole record we did record video, so we'll probably trickle some more of those out pretty soon.
Nice.
So we got them all.
Yeah.
You don't get to see my face too much because of the pop screen. I'm a notorious pee popper. Admitted.
Yeah, it's real. It's just, it's put on some hi-fi headphones or put it on your stereo and just watch it. You'll be there in the room with the artist. So.
Yeah, very cool. And you guys have some really great photos I noticed out there too. Including for the album cover and stuff.
Oh, sweet. Shout out to Jackie, my girlfriend. She does the graphic art for the label, she did the photography and the layout. So, yeah.
Yeah. Shout out to Jackie.
Yep.
But yeah, I noticed those, and they all looked real sharp. You and hanging out with the Resonator around St. Louis and stuff. There's some real nice shots.
No makeup or hairspray involved.
All natural. Well, very cool, guys. This has been a ton of fun. I really appreciate you all taking some time out to hang. And I can't wait for everybody to hear this record because, again, like I said, anybody that's a fan of blues and acoustic blues stuff like this, for sure. I mean, it's a must-have for your collection. But come pick up a copy July 27th at Off-Broadway. $10 tickets includes a copy of the album.
It'll be set up for like with seats.
Oh, nice.
So you can like sit down and not have to stand. And there might be some like higher normal bar tables in the back, but we're going to try to get like seating kind of for like watching.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be
intimate.
Yeah. Yeah, man, that'd be nice. And Off-Broadway, I mean, it goes without saying, is one of our favorite rooms in the city for sure. It's great spot. Always.
Wow. Soundman's really good there.
Yeah. Yeah, they do everything top-notch over there. It's a great room for music, and they've definitely been doing their part to support all my friends in folk and Americana and all kinds of stuff. So great spot over there with Steve and Kit. So
love it.
Yep. Is there, I'm guessing, you know, this is 12 songs, and I figured if you've been doing this for as long as you said you, and I'm sure we got another big collection of songs ready to
roll. He's got dozens and dozens more already written.
I got a backlog of probably 50 songs, you know, between the Resonator and acoustic guitar and songs that I wrote a long time ago in the 70s that I don't even remember.
You got like are they in like notebooks or something, or are you?
No, I got recordings and I make recordings and then bunch them all up and send them off to be copyrighted and so I won't forget the words and stuff. And
yeah, is that you guys? Hopefully, maybe we'll get into recording some of those. But are you looking into? You gonna stay with this? You think, or are we gonna move into that more of electric sound too? Or what are you feeling?
Well, I want to, on the next one, I kind of want to have some orchestration, but something to not, it's hard to explain. As if you two would take a template, I like the very old J.J. Cale type of sound, that laid back, very sparse, or one of my favorite albums of all time is like Astro Weeks by Van Morrison, where he has he's got odd instruments, you know, and stuff like that. And maybe put on electric for a couple of solos, but, you know, as far as electric, I don't write a lot in the strict blues idiom because I feel that Willie Dixon already wrote all the best songs there was in blues, and I don't really feel connected to writing that minor more blues as a background, but like out from there. Right. I don't know what you would call it. Bob music.
Yeah. Well, let's close this out with one more. And then this is you and the Resonator. I feel like this one showcased you're playing a lot more. This is Sitting Back in the Gates of Eden. And this one, again, caught my attention. I really, really enjoyed this track. And but is there anything around this one?
Yeah, there's a story on this one. My friend Bill Chrisman from Joe's Cafe made a sketch for me based on a R. Crumb sketch of this old character sitting on the other side of a fence with a fire going and an empty bottle. And he just pencil drew it, kind of altered it a little bit so we're not. And I never really used it for anything. It was on my Facebook page for a while. And that song is kind of based on that sketch. You know, the old guy sitting kind of homeless behind with the old guitar and a fire. And the Gates of Eden is that fence, and then there's a bar in the background.
Right. Nice. Yeah, man, I'll have to go see if I can find that picture. But that's cool to like hearing like that, just that one piece of art can kind of inspire a story and the thoughts to go into wanting to write a song about it now.
Well, I'm sitting here on the gates of Eden. Don't know what sign I'm on. Just sitting back on the gates of Eden. Just an old guitar and a fire to keep me warm. The bus. Maybe I found my place in the sun. I'm gonna stay right here till it's done. And I'm sitting back on the gates of Eden. Just a guitar and a fire to keep me warm. Found my own paradise. I'm gonna sit right here till the day I die. And I'm sitting on the gates of Eden. Just an old guitar fire to keep me warm. Well, I'm sitting back on the gates of Eden. Side I'm on. Well, I'm kicking back on the gates of Eden. Just an old guitar and a fowl keep me warm. Just an old guitar and a fowl keep me warm.
Another great tune. So pick up this album. I'm just, like I said, I'm sure everywhere digitally after the release party and everything. And but yeah, check it all out. Come on out to Off Broadway July 27th and get yourself a copy there. That's probably the easiest way for sure.
Yeah.
And but I thank you again, Bob and Paul, for doing this. Man, this has been a lot of fun getting to hang with you guys. And I'll see everybody at Off Broadway.
Thank you so much.
Thank
Shane.
You. I got one question for you.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
What degree of separation are you related to Elvis Presley?
You know, I really wish I could like actually find out. Like, I always make up some dumb answer, but I wish I could actually like. I think my aunt has the family tree somewhere. We are of relation, but I don't know where. Like, well, we have both of our families were around. I had a lot of family from Piggott, Arkansas, which I know his family is also from Arkansas area somewhere. I don't know the degrees actually, but I always just tell people I'm not close enough to get any of that money or anything.
What about the dance?
The colonel
moves?
Took it all anyway.
Right. But it's funny when my grandma, she used to say. I think a lot of it's the name, you know, when people hear Presley, they just immediately think that, but like, I'll mention my grandmother though, but she used to say I looked a lot like Elvis and I was like, I don't know about that. But then when I tell people like, you know, they hear my name, like, oh yeah, I look like him. And I'm like, no, I don't think so. Like, whatever. I mean, I got dark hair and sideburns. That's right. You know, but so maybe, but, it would be interesting though, just to find out for sure. What check the family tree back to see how far back it does go and where if we are connected or not.
Yep.
But yeah, it's pretty, I'm sure, somewhere down there, a couple, you know, third, fourth cousins. I don't know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So
there you go.
All right.
Very cool. Thanks. Thank you, Shane.
Yeah. Thank you guys. And, thanks for listening, everybody. Bye.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.